Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. And this week, I wanted to talk about communication, education, and different learning styles. There is a lot of debate as to whether learning styles is a real thing or not. And I will, for the purpose of this conversation, use myself as an example. I am a visual and hands-on learner. Don't give me something to read off of a page and expect me to understand it or for it to instantly make sense. Now, on the other hand, if you give me a pile of loose parts and say, these loose parts go together to make a bookshelf, I can look at those parts and tell you what goes together with what, where, and how. I am visual. Other people can look at those same loose parts and go, what am I supposed to do with that? Whereas that same other person could take the instruction manual, read through it word by word, and then go and put the bookshelf together in 2 minutes. Those are two examples of two distinct ways of processing information, what I call learning styles. And when we are trying to get kids either to do new things, try new things, learn new things, or understand new ideas, we have to understand first the way in which they receive information about things around them the most naturally. You can't shove a round peg in a square hole. And learning is no different. So if you're listening this week as a parent, a caregiver, or an educator, it is important for us to first understand how it is that kids receive and process information. This understanding can make so many things easier. Once you understand how kids do things, how they learn things, communication becomes much easier. You might ask a child to do something and they acknowledge that you've asked them to do something. They get distracted by something and completely forget what you asked of them. Whereas if you used a visual cue, such as a time clock, or a chore chart, or a step guidance system, not only is the child going to be reminded of what you asked them to do, if they're unsure about the steps they need to take to get the thing done, they then can look at the guidance and see a visual representation of each individual thing that they need to carry out in order to complete the task that they were given. So when we have a better understanding of the way that kids communicate or understand or receive information, it can make learning and education so much easier, because you're not trying to stick a round hole in a square peg in a round hole. I almost said that backwards. Whoops. This would have been monumental when I was in school, because I did not enjoy school very much, because the way information was presented to me was through a textbook, and I found reading absolutely laborsome. I hated it. I didn't want to do it. And this resulted in me not doing a lot of homework assignments or not retaining a lot of the information that was being presented to me. Not because I wasn't smart enough, but because of the method that was being used. Now, in the rare instances when teachers would use slideshows or videos, I would much easier pick up, or much more easily, I think is what I should have said, much more easily pick up the points that the material was trying to make, because I was hearing the information and oftentimes seeing the information be demonstrated. And so I was getting a picture of what it was I needed to remember. Now, based on this example, you can probably guess that I wasn't good at taking tests either. Taking tests are not a good benchmark for judging a child's understanding of a test. An experiment or a demonstration is a much better way to judge what they understand about a topic, because they can reverberate or demonstrate what it is that they have learned about the information you want them to retain. I personally would have enjoyed school so much more if there were more engaging hands-on activities that were presented to teach me ideas. Now, as I got to high school and college, there were more of those opportunities. There were more labs and practicums, which were engagement experiences that allowed me to experience the information that either I was expected to learn or that it was expected for me to demonstrate that I had already learned and was being expected to put that information into practice, usually in a classroom setting. So, a lot of times in educational settings, and in home social settings, we run across behavioral issues, or what we label as behavioral issues. And one of the things I wanted to share this week is that usually those experiences are not about the behavior. They are the way a child is trying to communicate something. Last week I talked about this, and I talked about tantrums being a way that a child was trying to communicate that they were bored, or they were tired, or they were frustrated, or they were hungry. And so if we can gain an understanding of what behavior is trying to teach us, and understand that behavior is a form of communication, and tie that information to education and learning, we can make educational experiences much more rewarding for the adult who is trying to do the educating and the child who is engaging in the education and being expected to get something out of it. I talk a lot about this and give a lot of examples about how to do this in past seasons of the podcast and past episodes. I talk about things like experiments and engaging in construction activities. A construction activity allows a child to communicate their ideas. Oftentimes, a child will have an idea or they'll be curious about something and they won't really understand how to ask. And so they'll say something and the parent or sometimes even the teacher or the caregiver won't necessarily understand what the child is trying to say. And that will lead to the child getting frustrated. There's that behavior. They'll get frustrated, which will show itself as a negative interaction, when really what they're trying to say is, I simply don't understand, or I can't get you to understand what I'm trying to show you or what I'm trying to get you to teach me. And so by using a engaging experience, or what I call a play-based experience, kids often will find it easier to communicate their ideas through an activity. So I started to talk there about construction. Construction is one of my favorite examples to give because you can so easily incorporate not only the child's interest, but the goal of a parent, a caregiver, or an educator. So a lot of times we want to get kids to understand a history lesson or practice math, or maybe it is build their language skills. An activity like construction can allow us to do all of those things. So you can get out loose parts and you can start a conversation with a child, such as, what do you think we could build with these loose parts? And children will willingly express their ideas, which opens up conversation, which uses language, which uses critical thinking, which also engages eye-hand coordination as they begin to express their ideas and want to use the loose parts to demonstrate their ideas. So then you, as the adult, can direct the conversation towards, if it is a history lesson that you're trying to teach, oh, did you know that this group of people during this time period used a specific type of construction method to build a specific type of building for X purpose. And that may engage the child to want to know more, either A, about the group of people, or B, about the time frame, or C, how they used that specific construction method, which gets them more engaged in the hands-on experience using specific construction methods, which will get them to inquire about the specific tools they need and maybe the tools that would have been used at a specific time period, or even tools that would have been available during a specific time period. And so that is a really good example about tying communication and education together at the same time that you're allowing children to use their communication abilities to express not only their interest, but their understanding of an idea and their needs. So you're allowing them to express the fact that they don't understand an idea, or that they're not sure how to use a specific method, or whatever the struggle may be. So open communication is the key to stronger learning experiences, as well as engaging better behavior. Because then the child, as I also said last week, feels seen and heard when you give them the opportunity to communicate their ideas, their thoughts, and their needs or their frustrations. So once they feel that they can openly express the fact that they don't understand and that they're encouraged to ask questions, then they don't feel the need to have to act out in frustration, because they have then the tools to express the frustration in words in a way that can get them a solution over a negative reaction. And all of this ties back to, again, understanding how your child receives information best, so that you're not trying to throw information at them in a way that makes them feel overwhelmed. For me, again, it was a very frustrating thing when I was expected to read something and then reverberate the information that I was expected to learn, when reading and writing not only weren't then my strong suit, but they're not the way that I choose to communicate now. As you probably figured out, since you are listening to me use verbal communication to conduct this podcast every week, doing a podcast is one of the ways that I feel that I can most naturally and clearly communicate, because I verbally express my ideas best. And surprise, surprise, I've enjoyed talking since a very young age. And very quickly at that young age developed strong language and verbal ability. Probably something that the adults in my life at the time were at times challenged by, but also encouraged me to explore the things around me and wanted to understand the things around me because it gave me the opportunity to build more, deeper, bigger language. So I really want to encourage you to pay more of an open-minded attention to the way the kids in your lives receive information, process information, and express information, because that truly can be the key to better communication, better self-expression, better behavioral outcomes, and ultimately an increase in educational input and outcomes. I also want to re-encourage, as I try to each and every week, that you reinforce these ideas. If you have kids in your life who enjoy learning through experience, giving them those outlets. You may have seen the kids in your life really struggle over the time that we have spent virtually learning, and it very well may be because they needed that hands-on experience. They enjoy interacting, getting to hear and see people on the screen and get some sense of human interaction, but they may have really struggled to retain and put to use the information that they were learning. And it very well was because that they needed that engaging experience. So if you are still engaged in virtual learning, tune in to the lesson that the teacher is trying to teach. And if you see your child or student struggling with the way that the teacher is presenting the information, engage them after the fact in a conversation about that lesson and try to come up with a way for them to demonstrate for you what it was that the teacher was trying to express. And most likely you're going to see a different reaction to that learning opportunity than you did to the learning opportunity that was being given in that virtual engagement. So that's what I wanted to share with you this week. I hope you found this week's episode exciting and engaging. I hope it inspired you to want to have more open-ended conversations with the kids in your life. The weather is sunny and warm, and I would encourage you to engage kids in more conversations that get them excited about engaging in the things around them and using the things around them as learning opportunities and opportunities to explore ideas that they've been presented with and ideas that they have on their own. And I hope you find opportunities to have more fun, engaging, exploring, hands-on experiences that get the kids in your life to engage with the lessons, the curiosity, and the learning that has been presented to them. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. That was kind of a rambling end there, but I really wanted to bring that idea home. I want to thank you for joining me this week. I hope you'll come back next time when I'll have more fun learning and skill building ideas to share. Don't forget, you can check me out at thecreativecampusonline.com, where I am sharing more and more opportunities for us to engage and learn together. Yes, in virtual ways still, but ways that we can connect and learn from each other. So I really want to encourage you to check those out, and I hope you will join me in these experiences. Some of them are paid, some of them are free, but they're all engaging, hands-on, and a whole lot of fun. And I really look forward to getting to know each and every one of you on a more personal, face-to-face basis. Thanks for joining me this week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.